Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. Today I have with me beautiful soul, Michelle Odom Henderson. And we've had to reschedule because she was out of it with COVID, but gratefully she's on the other side of that. And I'm so happy to finally have her. Among other things, Michelle is an author. Apostle Michelle, I really want to get into that because I love that. Spiritual advisor, educator, and speaker. And I love also that you're like helping kids. I mean, that just brought me so much joy. So I just want to start with a little bit about your spiritual journey, and then we'll just go from there.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And yes, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show, because I absolutely love conversations like this.
Awesome.
Because I think a lot of people will go, that was me as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not alone. But yeah, so when I was younger, okay, I could feel energy. I could sense things. I could feel what my friends were feeling. And I thought, I'm going crazy. I don't know what's going on. And I had no one to talk to, you know? And so it's almost like, so that people wouldn't make fun of me, or my church friends would go, don't open that door. Don't go there. You know, that type of thing. And mm-hmm. I'm going, well, to me, it was so spiritual, because I knew that there was something on the other side, and I felt like somebody was trying to communicate with me. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do, though, was turn down the volume, mm-hmm. and just to be a kid at that time. And I get busy, and, you know, life gets in the way. And then my early 20s is when spirit started knocking on my door again. It's like, all right, I'm going to try waking you up, Michelle, one more time. And so I was getting visits. And again, I'm going, I don't know who to talk to, because mm-hmm. being in the Bible Belt of Texas, it was really hard to find anyone. But I actually went to my minister at the church, and I said, you know what, I'm getting visited. I don't know how to communicate. I don't know what's going on. And she said, you know what, you're okay. You're not, it's mm-hmm. nothing evil. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And she said, if you are not ready for it, let them know. And, you know, set those boundaries. So what I did is I said, you know what, I don't know what's going on. I've got to find somebody to help me. So I found a psychic medium in my area.
Oh, cool.
That said, yes, I can help you.
Nice.
And it's like, oh, music just went on. I went, somebody can understand it. Mm-hmm. And so she opened up a whole world. The door was open. And to me, it was just, it made me more spiritual. You know, I was religious mm-hmm. already, but I was both at that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it just opened the door. I'm thinking, why do people just shun this? I didn't understand right. back then.
Right.
But I was able to really tune into what I needed to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spirit showed me the way. And I really did not start. Now, I used it as an educator. Whenever I was working with kids, I'd always say, okay, please help guide me, give me that intuition, you know. So I was doing what the kids needed. But it wasn't until right before COVID, I told my husband, I need to stop my regular job and I need to really be trained in this and do this full time.
Mm.
And he said, absolutely. So I all of a sudden had all the support.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That is so beautiful.
So, you know, I tell everybody, if you feel like you're going through a spiritual awakening, it can be scary, but that fear gets in the way. If you just kind of put it on the side, you can actually feel where you need to go next. Because not mm-hmm. all spiritual awakening is, you know, delightful, because you have to really embrace who you are and your mm-hmm. fear and all your triggers and
yeah.
everything you've been through.
Yep.
It's healing.
It is. And it's scary at first, because yes. all of a sudden you have this awareness of this piece of you that's protected you.
Right.
That doesn't serve you anymore. And it's like, but here's the thing, like, but the thing has protected me. And it's usually something in your childhood that yes. has come in as a way to, and child logic is fascinating because I've done a lot of inner child work, and to witness what my little girl thought made sense. It's like, thank you, honey. I'm so grateful for you. And wow, I see how you did that. It makes zero sense, but I have a lot of compassion for you.
Yes. You know, because they haven't been on the earth as long as we have, and they, don't put all those barriers in front of them. They actually just let it be. And oh yes, we learn so much from kiddos these days.
And to be able to have that space, for ourselves and for the and for the ones that are coming in, because what I sense, at least with the animals that I work with, there's a shift in consciousness with the animals, and so I'm sensing there is with the kids, and I'd love to speak to you about that. What are you seeing?
Oh my goodness, yes, definitely a shift. And they are here, and it's so interesting because it actually started back, in 1960. We forget that we had the indigo children. And Nancy Tate was the first one who said, you know what, I see that purple aura, the indigo. I know that they're here for a reason and for a purpose. So I feel like there's always been, each generation, there's always been a reason for our kiddos to be here and to really change the energy of the earth. And I think it's getting stronger and stronger. And I think we are changing as society, as parents. I think more and more parents are understanding what is going on and they're not as afraid. But I think being the mama bear or daddy bear, they want to protect their child. And it's like there's not a reason to protect them because they are so spiritual, they're so close, to the other side. And so there's no protecting, just show them what spirituality is all about and that you embrace who they truly are. Because once you break that down or they become fearful and they close that down like you did as well, that you don't show your authentic self. And that's where a lot of kids start experimenting and going into, cults or drugs or because they're trying to find themselves and for it to all make sense. And but yes, so I think that the conscious energy is changing with our kiddos. I think they are teaching us so much because they are not turning it off when they're younger, as what we used to do.
That's amazing. I just got chills for that because like the thought of and there's more support too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree. And I think that the number one thing when parents come to me, a lot of times they didn't grow up with it. And again, they're afraid of it, and they don't know what to do. But if they feel like they are in control, that's the number one thing. It makes them feel so much better. And I said, hey, you are in control of your household. If your child needs to sleep at night and spirits are coming in to play, you can tell them it's not time. Set those boundaries, and you are in total control of what goes on.
Yeah, I my parents were religious, and I went to a Protestant church in Connecticut, and I was astral traveling at night and talked to my guides all the time, but I didn't know that nobody else was do. I mean, I'm sure others were doing it, but there wasn't any discussion about it. So it was this space of like being insecure. And so to give kids that permission to ask questions and to explore what is astral traveling, what is talking to your spirit guides, what is intuition, like having that conversation. Wow.
Yes.
That's transformational.
Now, I know that the one thing I do tell the parents, once you get into middle school, you have those hormones going through. And then you start really being an empath. That's where the anxiety begins to happen, is because everything that's going on with your body, and then you're an empath, you can feel what your friends are feeling. And so that's another thing. Each stage in life, of course, of a child, an intuitive child, is different, and you have to look at it in different ways. So then they've got to learn how to cope and how to know what is my feelings versus somebody else's feelings.
That's a big one.
Yes.
That is a big one. And to give back somebody else's feelings if it's not,
Yes,
it's like.
absolutely. And know how to bounce those feelings off, and say, those are not my feelings, and I don't want anything to do with you. Or, I love you and go away, because you've got to have that protective shield. And that's where the protection comes in, is just to protect your energy. And that just takes exercise. It takes breathing exercises, and knowing you're going to be okay because you're the one, again, in control.
How are you seeing the kids respond to that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and whenever I work with kids, I work with their parents.
Okay,
So
cool.
I educate the parents, and then they work with their child,
Cool.
especially when they're really young, because really at that point, they need to be working with their child, not me, because they see their child on a day-to-day basis. So I see a lot of relief in the parents' eyes. It's like, oh my gosh, my child is a different child. Or, they're being able to handle it so much more through these little exercises that you have given us. So, yes.
I love that.
And because when they're minors, you want the family. And that's another thing that I tell the parents is you've got to have some type of spirituality in your household. It doesn't have to be religious. Just knowing that there's something greater than yourself, and doing all the exercises and coming together spiritual will really make your child feel so much more embraced.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because I remember going to my minister after my grandpa died, and I'm like, so how do you pray? Simple question. I got you just pray.
Oh,
Like,
so
that's not
they
helpful. Just didn't know how to explain it. And
Right.
subsequently Greg Braden has done a fantastic job of explaining how to pray. But like I didn't know. And so I'm fumbling around my teenage years wanting to reconnect because I cut myself off because I was overwhelmed and then felt really disoriented because I went from like fully connected to not and wanting to re get back in touch, but not having the what I perceived was the skill sets or the ability to reach out again.
Right. Yes, I understand that too. And I always tell them, have a relationship, with your spirit guide. So I had a relationship with Jesus growing up. I mean, he was like my best friend. Anytime I needed to talk to somebody, I would call in Jesus, and I could feel his energy come in. And so, just having the connection and the relationship, especially once you start tuning in your gifts. It's always nice to have that relationship with your spirit team and knowing who you're talking to or connecting in with. So it's always a relationship, and have that relationship with yourself as well.
Oh yeah, listening to one of the things I've gifted myself is somatic healing and tuning into my body and what it wants to tell me. For years I had anxiety for years. And when I started doing the somatic healing, I started being present to that. And now it's gone. I mean, every once in a while, I'll feel something like in 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll have this big thing show up in my body and I'll just be present to it. But my body knows for a fact that I'm not going to abandon it. And so it's able to allow the energy to move.
Right. Well, that's awesome. And that's another thing. You've got to listen to yourself. And a lot of people will say, well, I ignored it. I knew I was supposed to do that. And my intuition was yelling at me, but I ignored it. And it's like, I'm going, that's your first mistake. Because you really need to listen in to what your, because your true self can come through, and your true self will be able to help guide you as well.
I
But you've
definitely
got
feel
to
that.
listen. Yes.
And that requires slowing down.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And what really helped me along the way is yoga. doing yoga because it taught me the breathing exercises, and I went to the traditional yoga, and I learned so much. I'm going, wow, now I understand how people, these yogis, can really connect in with their energy, and I could feel the energy, and I could control my energy so much better with the yoga and with the breathing exercises.
I love that.
And yet, everybody's going, don't go to yoga. It's going to open the door. I'm going to anyway.
You.
Well, and Sophia, as you become spiritual awakening, the people who are supporting you will stick around, but your energy shifts, and you'll find out the people that were not serving you are no longer in your life. It's just interesting how that works.
It is fascinating. I have seen it over the past few years, especially more quickly because as I shift, the energy shift. And so people I was really close to even 6 months ago, I'm not, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different frequency. And so it's just really, really fascinating to me to see how, as we uncover the layers of our subconscious that keep us from being who we are, how all of those old comforts shift.
Yes. And your whole thought front thinking process changes. And to me, I am so much more relaxed than I used to be. And letting things happen and going, you know what? There's a reason for it. I may not see the light in it yet, but I know there's a reason why that happened.
Yeah, that is such a gift to be able to be in that space of not stressing over something like, oh, well, this has to happen. This, why is this not happening? Blah, blah, blah. That whole narrative to realize that it's divine timing. And if it's meant for you, it'll come. If it's not meant, it won't. And that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think everybody has different gifts, and they change, which is so interesting. I thought, oh, I'll be this forever. And now it changes. What I tell everybody too is take classes with somebody, a master teacher that you feel drawn to, because that's what I did. And I started along the pathway, and I'm going, that's the best thing I could have done. Was to take a course on how to tune in intuitively and doing intuitive readings, and also mediumship with channeled readings as well. And it's like, I'm a completely different person as before I started.
Oh yeah, I am too. I'm amazed at so when I was a teenager, my clairaudience was, I used to play Name That Tune and beat my parents when I was 5. So the clairaudience, it was always powerful. I always listened to music lyrics, and every partner I've had has been like, you listen to lyrics. I'm like, kind of like that's sort of the whole point of the song. But like recently, what I felt is more of that feeling and the inner knowing, and I have a little clairvoyance, but not so much with the music. So it does shift over time. And that's fascinating too, because what the more I'm heart-centered, the less I can quantify anything. But the more I know it.
Yes, and that's the thing, is opening up that heart center is difficult. I mean, whenever mine was opening up, I thought I was having a heart attack at first. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I know this is just energy, but I feel like I'm having a heart attack. And it was all this energy just opening up. And I had watched several shows or whatever that happened to several other people, and they go get checked out and everything, and they were fine physically. But it's like their heart chakra was opening up, and with all that energy for the first time, you do feel like, oh my gosh, it's going to come out of my chest.
Because it's so intense, like, because you have this energy that is you. I mean, it's the
Yes.
unconditional love that we all are, but to feel it
Yes.
within you, It's such a magical feeling because we can generate that within ourselves because we are
Yes.
it. And to remind ourselves that, like this morning, I'll say, I had this sense of interesting loneliness, which is fascinating. I mean, I'm single right now, and but I live in a house with two other people. But what came in was I was married for 10 years, I had a relationship for 16 years. I wanted to snuggle. And I've been single for 4 years. And so what I did was I ended up just hugging myself for about 20 minutes because that's what I needed.
Right.
And so to be able to tune into the feelings and the sensations and then allow myself to gift what I need to myself is so powerful.
That is beautiful.
Thank
I
you.
love that. I love that. And it was like you embrace the feeling of loneliness. You know, because a lot of people will go, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that. But you actually embraced it. And knew what you needed, what your soul needed.
Right, because like I don't need it. I'm my sole provider,
Right.
right? Ultimately, so why am I looking outside of myself for something I can give myself? And I'm never alone. That's the thing too. It was just this human feeling of the aloneness. And I'm listening to my team the whole time while I'm hugging myself, like, yeah, you just needed that. That's totally fine. You're good. Do that more often because you're affectionate and the people you live with aren't. So, and there's
Right.
nothing wrong with that. It's just I happen to be really affectionate. So if I need the affection, I have to self-source it.
Right. Understand. But I love that you do, you know, because we know more stuff than what we think we do if we go inside. So I totally agree that we know the truth. We know our truth. We know our spiritual journey. And it's all so fascinating. Since I opened the door, I have learned so much. I'm thinking, what? I signed a contract before I came here? What do you mean I signed a contract?
Then you find out what you wrote.
It's like, what? Am I crazy? Absolutely. And you know, and it never changes. Like I said, things are changing. And you know, you asked me about the apostle title that came up. Now, I was not expecting that at all. And what I was in a very, very deep meditation, okay? And it's almost like I had a committee. I don't know how to explain it, but almost like I could feel people around me, like when you're in a meeting room and you're at one of those big tables and people are sitting around. Well, I couldn't see it, but I could feel it, and I could feel and I could hear people talking to me. And it was a man, and I'm not for sure if it wasn't Jesus or not, but he said, you know what? We're going to offer you something. We want you to be able to talk to people who are Christians and teach them Jesus teachings and talk about Jesus as and not as a master teacher, maybe not as Christ, but so that they can really get to know what his life was truly about. And I'm going, okay. And so they go, so we're gonna call you. I'm going, well, how's this working? You know, we want you to be called Apostle Michelle. And I'm going, oh, an apostle. I'm going, what does an apostle do? You know what I'm saying? I'm going, okay. And I said, but I had to agree to it. You know, they were asking me, and I said, I will do it if it feels like the time is right, if I'm going to help a lot of people. So what's happening right now is it's still unfolding. So a traditional apostle would open up a church, you know, in a traditional sense. But I, through my meditations, I'm finding out that I'm going to do energy healing through God's essence. Okay, I'm going to be not preaching, but teaching about Jesus' teachings that we are unaware of through channeling. And I'm going to be
Love that.
traveling. I'm going, oh, travel. That sounds like fun. So it's all unfolding. I mean, I'm being shown what I'll be doing.
Oh, wow.
So it probably won't start till the summer, and I'm
Okay.
going, okay, why did I say yes to this?
No,
So it,
I get that. I get that. That's magical.
yeah, and it's scary though, because it is out of my comfort zone, but they always tell me that out of the comfort zone is where you grow more. And to say, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. And so we'll see what happens.
Well, you're reminding me of it. So 2 years ago, I signed up for this thing called the Sustainable Global Leadership Association, and we did heart-based leadership, so leadership of the self, and we did these massive meditations, future casting meditations. And in one of the meditations, I heard the name Sophia, and my birth name is Erica.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It wouldn't leave me alone. And I'm like, that's a big name. That's a really
Yes.
big name. That's a scary name, right?
Yes.
So 4 weeks go by, and the leader of the seminar or the course says, if anyone has any, I know he's talking to me. If anyone has anything that they need to talk about that came through meditation that they want to address, now is the time to do it because the class is about to end up. And I reluctantly, so reluctantly, I'm like, I don't want to do this kind of level. I said, I call him and I'm like, I gotta talk to you, buddy. And he's like, what? And I say, well, this name Sophia came through. And he's like, okay, do you wanna embody Sophia? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no. We get on the Zoom call and it's like, okay, you have to commit to this. I'm
Right.
like, yes. And he's like, no, I need to hear, I need to feel the heart resonance here. I'm like, yes. And so what happened was he channeled something, and my heart, I mean, I have a picture of my whole body, my upper body, like turning into light.
Oh,
You
wow.
couldn't
Oh,
see me.
that's
It was
real.
all light. And so since that day, Erica does not resonate with me anymore.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't even know why that name came through, but that's I'm Sophia now. And it's like, what is the energy of Sophia that wants to be felt through me that needs to come forth?
Right.
And that's just unfolding and unfolding and unfolding because it's a big name.
Absolutely. And oh my gosh, congratulations to
Thank
you.
you. Thank you.
Because, you know, it is. And whenever I told people where I was meditating, they're going, well, did they change your name? You know, just like what you're talking about. I said, well, they gave me a title. I don't know about that. But it is, I, for some reason, and I know that, you know, talking about Jesus, he changed disciples' names as well.
Yeah.
Whenever they were changing, I think, what they were supposed to do or be perceived, that's
Yeah.
when the name changed.
Yeah.
So it is very spiritual. Oh my gosh.
I know.
And yeah, and my spiritual teacher was like right there as well. You know, she can't, I, you know, I don't you know that they're watching us in meditation and they can see all the energy? And she was right there. And whenever I explained it to her, she goes, yeah, you'll be channeling. And
Wow.
what I was told is no more oracle cards. Whenever I do my readings, that needed to become from me or a God source.
Oh, wow.
And so they were actually telling me, okay, so you need to do this. And then they told me that I needed to do a more spiritual podcast. So it's like, okay, I need a list here.
I get that because when I started my podcast, I was like, you want me to what? It's like 2019 and I'm going, you want what? What?
What?
So I'm like, what am I gonna say? And they're like, just start it. You've got all the skill sets. You know how to edit. You know how to like just do the thing. And I'm like, all right. And so I do four small episodes of me sharing some of what I've learned. And then one of my former mentors says, hey, would you like to interview me? And I was like, oh, yes, because then I don't have to hear myself. It's not that I mind hearing myself speak, but like, I like interviewing people better. So that's what started it. And then, I mean, it was like this whole journey of let's go deeper, let's go deeper. I mean, I got off of Instagram and Facebook and all that for a little while because like I don't like the energy of that. But then
Right.
in October again, I'm like, okay, I'll sign back up because I need to get the message out. And it's really like tuning in the moment because each moment is different. And so like right now, my focus has been my podcast for the past 2 months, like way more than I imagined it would be. I'm feeling shifts in that into expanding elsewhere too, because there's something else that wants to come through, which is beautiful because I have the adaptability to do that. And that's, I think that's what we're all supposed to do is like have the adaptability to change.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people just like, I feel like that we're two teenagers going to say, what? We're supposed to do what? That's exactly, I don't know. I think you have the free will to say no, if you don't want to. But I think it's so spiritual and such a peaceful and loving moment to be in that it's like, absolutely, I want to help, as much as I can. And so I think we get in that moment and then and it's like taking that faith of leap, leaping into that faith, and going, you know what? I know spirit has my back. I'm going to be okay. And I think people need to remember that.
Oh,
That
yeah.
miracles can still happen,
Yes.
spirit things can still happen, and we just need to be open to it.
Oh, yeah. Last spring, I was guided to go up to Orcas Island in Washington. I had $200 in my checking account. I didn't even have the gas to get up there. And I went anyways, because it was like the orcas or the Quelimeshan, as I'm supposed to call them, were literally calling me. I could feel them. And so on the way, I was gifted with funds to get up there. I'm on the ferry. I don't have a place to live. I've never moved without a place to live. This is like way out of my comfort zone. I get on the ferry. I didn't see them, but I felt the energy of them, the Quelimeshan slash orcas, telling me they were excited to feel me. First night I'm there, I have a hotel. A woman that's a friend of a friend calls me and says, I'm inviting you to a potluck tomorrow. You may find somebody who has a place to live. Well, 5 minutes before I leave, I find the person I move in with. And she's like, I'm looking for someone who's spiritual, who's new to the island, who just wants a place to stay for a while. And I'm like, I'm looking for a place to live. And she's like, when can you move? I said, well, I have to check out at my hotel at 10 a.m. She said, well, come over after that. It's like, what? And then she said, when I got there, she said, let's not do any contracts or exchanging of money until after Mercury goes direct. I was like, yes, I'm living with you.
She speaks your language.
It was such an expansion of don't you know we're going to take care of you?
Yes.
You can jump off any cliff. The image of I've always seen myself jumping off cliffs and the cliffs get bigger and I have a softer landing each time. And it's just this, okay, we just want you to trust more because you're always taken care of. And it was such a beautiful lesson in that surrender state because like I was terrified. I was shaking on the ferry because I was so scared because it was out of my comfort zone.
Right. That's when you know you're in the right place to embrace it. And a lot of people, when people first get into their spiritual awakening, they think it's going to be like everybody else's. But I think we all need to treat where we are with grace and to really, because those contracts, man. We're all learning something different, along the way. And when people get, impatient, or they're going, I can't believe they believe in that or whatever, they're on a different journey. And we've got to remember that and to love them and say, you know what? They are part of me. We are all one. But, we're learning something different. We'll all end up in the same place. But But we all are kind of learning. We're all spreading our seeds somewhere, I guess
Yeah.
you could say.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because like you and I are having, we've never met.
No.
And yet the connection I feel with you is really beautiful. And the fact that we're able to just have this amazing unfolding of a conversation because of that heart resonance is, I mean, that's all we need to be is in that space of heart. And magic
Absolutely.
happens. Magic happens.
You know what I love is when I, and that's another thing I can't do is holistic fairs anymore, but because they wanted it more sacred. But whenever I was at holistic fairs, people are there to, especially newbies when they come in, and they're just being drawn and they want to learn so much. And they sit down and they start crying and they're going, wait, I thought this would be fun. But you're touching me, you know what I'm saying? And spiritually, that's when I'm going, that is the awe moment I love, is to help them be able to open up that heart, open up themselves, and to start the healing process. And to know
I love
that
that.
it's okay and that's not a scary process at all.
Right. It's just uncomfortable at times,
Yes,
which is okay. Not always fun,
absolutely.
but definitely, it's just, it's that whole space of, does this feel good? And I've had some beautiful dark nights of the soul where I've seen things about me that aren't pretty to see, but that's me judging it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that judging. Because again, and to me it's very interesting too, because as you're going through the healing process, I remembered some things that I had forgotten as a child. Or, I asked, why am I being triggered? Why am I getting anxious over this certain situation? And I was shown where it started. And I'm
Beautiful.
going, oh my gosh, I would have never, put those together, because I think that's our ego trying to protect us, at the same time.
Oh, I had a situation with a friend a few years ago where he showed up, he pressed a button. I show up, I start crying, but in the middle of the crying, I realize he had no idea that that was a trigger for me.
Right.
And then in the process of that trigger, another trigger comes out, and I'm like, oh, you couldn't have known that one either. And so I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for helping me see these things. I have to cry in front of you right now. I'm sorry if this is uncomfortable because I'm feeling it right now. I'm not going to shut that down. But nobody has a clue what your triggers are. They just press them and you're the one that's responding to it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's our behavior. And when you learn how to, okay, what can I do differently to change the behavior? Because it's nothing to do with the other person. Even though, because I felt like my job, I would work around narcissistic people. And I kept thinking, why am I working around these people? Why do they keep showing up? Well, it wasn't them, it was me.
And that's
So,
humbling.
yes, oh, it's very humbling. And I'm going, oh, after so many, I'm going, well, why didn't I learn it the first time? Sometimes you don't listen. But it's the your reaction. You learn how, okay, what can I do differently so that I can let go of what no longer serves me in that area. It's a learned behavior.
Yes. And to release those triggers, I mean, I'm just used to crying. Like when I feel it, it's like I'm sorry. I'm just gonna cry now. I'll leave, or you can watch me cry because like I'm grateful for this.
Right. And they're going, what? So were you a crier when you were younger?
So this is really interesting. My mom, love my mom. Very emotional musician, manic depressive, very, very, very emotional. Dad's side of the family, who I lived near, bunch of very repressed Swedes.
Gotcha.
So since I didn't want to replicate mom's up and down, I chose to repress my feelings. So, yes, I was a crier when I was really little, but I was also a really happy little kid. And teenagehood was very challenging.
Yeah, all those emotions coming to the surface.
And so, like, when I started allowing myself to cry again, like freely, not just like having to have all that tension build up, but just like actually feel the crying. It took a lot of effort for me to get to the place where I could just let tears flow, but boy, is it amazing.
Oh, yes, what to release that. Yes, I understand. Yeah, I cried all the time. I mean, with the drop of a hat. No matter what.
I probably would have
Yeah.
if I'd allowed myself to, but like
Right.
the social pressure of not expressing my emotions was huge,
Okay.
which is crazy.
So, are you still working on that now? I mean, do you sometimes feel that those emotions that you held on to when you were younger?
They'll if they arise, yes, but like I am, like I felt gratitude the other day, and it was so profound that I cried for 20 minutes. And it was like, okay, I'm on the other side of that because it was just so spontaneous. And I didn't have any preparation for it. I just felt the energy come through and I just cried. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good because I'm actually just allowing it to come through without any fear of expressing them. So it was really profound and beautiful for me to have the awareness that went along with the degree of gratitude I felt. So,
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I love it. Oh,
Thank you.
absolutely love it. Yeah, and you wake up as a different person after the crying. It's like woo. So do you keep a journal of whenever these
Oh,
things
yeah.
happen? Oh
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Oh, I just write every day. I have
Oh,
in
that's
every
awesome.
morning, I've adopted a practice at Lee Harris's Z's, the Z's. So they said, every morning when you wake up, write, what does my soul want to tell me? I get such cool affirmation, not affirmation phrases, but affirmation like language and like guidance in terms of like what they're seeing is happening. Like if I have strange dreams, they'll like show me what the purpose of the dream was. I had another one.
Oh,
Oh, I had one where I was walking down a mountain and one option was hiking in the snow and I was barefoot, and the other was going down the path, which was all ice. And so I wake up from that. I'm like, okay, what was that? And they're like, oh, that was just making sure you got discernment. I'm like, there wasn't anything about the snow and the ice. And they're like, no, it was just discernment. You're good. Okay.
I love it. I love it. I write after meditation because a
Oh,
lot of
cool.
times things that haven't come through do come through, like what you're saying,
Nice.
as you're writing. And it's like, oh, I don't remember hearing that. But it's like, almost like that channeled writing is coming through.
Yeah, that's what I love because like I can tell when I'm writing from them because
Yes.
it's a plural them, it's not me, and the language is different and I can't spell things,
Oh, right.
which is really fascinating. I'm like, okay, I know that's not me because I'm pretty good at spelling, but it's just really fascinating because it's just this whole different understanding of who I am versus who I think I am.
Right.
And I love that.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to ask you a little bit about your book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what inspired you to write it and how is it just helping others?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. It's just like as we're talking about writing in a journal, it's almost like because I've been in education for, gosh, almost 30 years
Oh,
and
wow.
have always been an advocate for kids.
Awesome.
So whenever I started in this business right before COVID, again, this meditation thing is really good. So I was meditating and I just felt like, I heard a message saying you're going to write a book with exercises that you're learning, but these
So
kids can
cool.
adapt to it,
Oh, that's
make it
awesome.
more simplified, and that these parents can actually, work with their children. And so I did. So I knew exactly what each chapter would contain
Oh,
and
wow.
what information. And I learned a lot through it.
I
And so
bet.
it's also to help light workers who are working with families with intuitive children. It gives them some ideas of where to start. So it's almost like, I don't want to say, what is it, psychological? Because at the beginning, you're looking at all the different characteristics and behaviors of the child, and but it gives you a starting space. So, like if you're working with someone who is anxious, there's some exercises that you can do with the child or with the family to bring that anxiety down. And it's the title I absolutely love, Spiritual Nurturing for Intuitive Children.
Oh my
So we're
gosh.
nurturing, that spirituality in the child. And, very simple things. And I simplify it so that a parent can pick it up, because I didn't realize parents would go, oh, I can buy this and do this on my own. I was mainly writing it for my other light workers. But then the parents are going, I can do this because I simplified about the crystals, what crystals are good with children, what meditation's all about, just very basic stuff, that a lot of people learn once or after their spiritual awakening.
I love that.
Thank
That is
you.
so beautiful.
Yeah, and that's so, just any project. I always tell people, if you feel like you're getting it channeled or getting it from, like that little nudge, you need to do it because the timing is very important.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Michelle, I am so grateful to know you, to know what work you're doing in the world, and for having this conversation. And I'm going to ask one more question, and that is, how can people find you?
Okay, I'll send everybody to my website because it has everything there, a link to Facebook and everything else. But it's www.michellehendersonmedium.com. So
Awesome.
eventually I'll change that after, because I've already bought that domain and everything after they changed my name. So it's like, I just changed my website and everything. So eventually that will change.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much
Thank
for your
you.
time and sharing your stories with me and who you are on the planet.
Well, thank you so much, Sophia. I appreciate you.
You are so welcome.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.